WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Is anyone here today? That's kind of the feeling that I'm getting because it's a Memorial Day weekend. Mary Ellen Hopkins just asked me, what are you doing here? It's the Memorial Day weekend. I didn't think anyone would be here. Well, if you are thinking about, well, if you're here, well, you probably stayed here because you didn't want to fly anywhere. I didn't want to go anywhere with TSA. I might have pre-check, but my family doesn't have pre-check. So I've got all these kids and we're not going to scoot through pre-check. It's going to take us an hour to 2 hours to get through anywhere. And then I'm just happy to be home. I mean, it's like a vacation for me to be able to stay in Atlanta. And it seems empty, so there's nobody on the roads, at least for now. And it seems like a light weekend. And we're going to be talking about money this morning, a little bit about money. We're going to be talking about politics and money. And if you're one of the few people that are still left here in Atlanta and you're listening to Money Matters, good morning. Thanks for being with us. Just me, really. Thanks for being with me. Maybe it's just you and me listening, or you and me together today. That's it. So good morning. I guess we'll open up the phone lines, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. But we have a lot of catching up to do because I had these interviews last week with Dan Clifton from Strategus, who's a political strategist. And he's really tried to help me over the last year figure out this election and what's going to happen and how that translates back to the money that we have invested and what it really means for that. And I want to tie all that together today. So yes, it's Memorial Day weekend. Yes, we have a tremendous amount to be thankful for. And one thing that I'd love for you to be able to see, and I don't know why I've never found this before. Maybe it was just released this year. You may have already seen this at some point, but there's this wonderful speech that will probably make you cry for Ronald Reagan, who addresses Hillsdale College on Memorial Day. So this is obviously going back a while. But it's this wonderful speech that he did commemorating and just a tribute to our armed forces and those of us, those who died for our country and really the price of freedom. You know, he starts out, we're a nation under God, and I believe that God intended for us to be free. And we must realize that no arsenal and no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and the moral courage of free men and women. And that's how he starts out this speech. And it'll give you goosebumps. And anyway, so I posted it on my website and it's on Facebook, but for some reason my Facebook isn't working. So you can just go to wesmoss.com. It's underneath. So I have this new website layout that just launched about a week and a half ago. So I'm still learning it a little bit, but there's really at the top, there's a news tab, and that's where all my stories are coming from. So if you go to news, there's money, adventure, success, health, happiness. So this is in the happiness tab, and it's this wonderful three-minute clip of Ronald Reagan speaking about Memorial Day and his tribute at Hillsdale College, and it is a powerful couple of minutes. So I encourage you to do that and obviously share it with your friends on Facebook here on this Memorial Day weekend. So with that, I want to talk about let's go through a couple of headlines here. So of course, Trump clinched this week as the nominee. So politics continues to dominate our psyche. And it's our top story today here on Money Matters. And really, way beyond just the battle that's been happening that's going to just heat up even more than it ever has in any election that we've ever seen in the history of America when Trump and Hillary finally face off. But our topic today is how we can find the smartest companies in Washington and then how does that potentially make you money. That's really what I want to get to. Really interesting survey, and there's some context here. Natixis Global Asset Manager, they're a giant mutual fund company, and they're really a roll-up of a lot of different mutual fund companies. So Natixis is one of these companies that went out and bought 15 or 20 different mutual fund families and put it under one umbrella. So it's a big asset management company. So they've been around a very long time, smart folks, and they did a survey that asked investors where they feel as though they're getting or finding the most opportunities. And this is kind of interesting to me because it's a little contradictory. First of all, 61%, at least the survey says that 61% of you believe, so investors, believe that mutual believe that index funds and ETFs provide access to the market's best opportunities, meaning that you don't necessarily need an actively managed mutual fund, which for how many years actively managed funds have still dominated. Now, granted, they've taken in less money and ETFs and index funds have started to have really gotten the new investment funds over the last, let's call it, decade. But actively managed funds are still gigantic and still dwarf the ETF and index fund industry because they've been around for, let's call it, 100 years. But the survey also says that 70% of you or investors want strategies that are less tied to the broad market. So meaning that the investors still want some sort of specificity or some sort of strategy or some sort of nuance that's not just the S&P 500. And that's fine, and I understand that. But they're a little bit contradictory. On one hand here, 61% of people just want index funds. And on the other side of this questionnaire, this survey, 70% of people want something that is more specific and less tied just to the broad market. Also, economic numbers this week, GDP revised up first quarter to almost not just shy of 1% from about 0.5%. The big news this week was Yellen. Yellen this week, if you sum up everything that she said, and the whole market was on pins and needles about this, she's at a rate. It's so funny that we keep tracking Janet Yellen, and it's watching like a claymation car. It's a claymation that's only three frames. Nothing happens, and it's 3 months later, and then a rate hike will probably be appropriate in the coming months. That's what she said. That's a direct quote. A rate hike will probably be appropriate in the coming months. I think anybody could have told you that, but at least the market breathed a sigh of relief because the market was worried that she was ready to crank interest rates up, you know, this weekend, and that's not going to happen. She's still going to be patient, and she's still going to try to understand where we're headed here economically before rates go up. All of this to say the Dow up 372 points, so a good week for the market, up about 2%. Year to date, the market, because it was basically flat, is up 2.5% on the Dow. S&P 500 was up about 2.25% this week and only up 2.7% year to date. So not a tremendous amount of movement. Here we are at the very end, at the start of summer. We're at the end of May and the market's still just up 2% for the year. Better than down 20. And I think that you would agree with me on that. So I want to get to this relationship here, and we do have calls on hold, and I will get to these, we'll get to these in really the second segment here. But first, let's go through this relationship about money and politics, and really how you can use it, how it actually relates to you. And this is something that I've, again, spent a lot of time on over the last couple of years, particularly the last year, and now bringing this to money matters. I've hinted at this for so long. So for months, we've been talking about how we're trying to connect the dots from Washington to Wall Street. And we know there's a relationship there. I don't think the president doesn't dictate how the economy does, but all the inner workings of, and let's call it the back channeling and the front channeling of companies related back to lobbyists, back to how rules are made and how things get influenced in Congress, it's a very big part of business in America. And the question is ultimately, how do you put that into action? And the answer is, and this is something that I've newly started to use, is something I call, it's the policy opportunity portfolio. I call it POP. So I'm a huge believer in acronyms. It lets me remember a lot of different things quickly. But POP is the Policy Opportunity Portfolio. So the acronym is POP. So the Policy Opportunity Portfolio. Really, you can nickname it the lobby portfolio that I've actually invested in, and it has a 14-year track record. So it's been this strategy has been around, but really hasn't been available until just recently. So I like it because it's simple. And again, I'm going to go through some of the specifics of this. So this is kind of a fun, I know that it's Memorial Day weekend, there's probably not as many people in town, but we're going to get a little bit specific here, which is kind of exciting for Money Matters listeners. So here's how simple it is. So for the Policy Opportunity Portfolio, POP, it's got 50 stocks. That's it. They're all large cap, so they're all big companies for the most part. Some of them are mega cap that you would certainly recognize. Some of them are smaller, large cap companies. Remember, a $20 billion company is still large cap, but you think when, but most of the companies that you, that you, that are on, that are ubiquitously named, and we all know, Google, Amazon, General Electric, those are $100 billion plus companies. So large cap is still $20 billion, but there are dozens and dozens of these $10, $20 billion companies you've probably never even heard of. So 50 large cap stocks, half of them have really significant yield. They're income-oriented investments, just like we've talked about for years and years and years here on Money Matters. The other half are just, I own for growth. So 25 are very income-oriented, 25 are purely growth-oriented. So they're established companies that have something in their business model that can experience a significant gain when it comes to their earnings if they end up on the right side of Washington's gale force wind. That's the key here. So you get 50 stocks, you have half dividend heavy, which are income oriented. The other half are purely growth oriented. The dividend half of this group has an average yield of 3%. That might not sound, you're not jumping up and down about that, but that's a really pretty significant yield in a market in the world that we live in today, with interest rates still under 2% for the 10-year treasury. Southern Company is an example. Well over 4.5%. International Paper over 4%. Pitney Bowes over 4%. H&R Block close to 4%. Qualcomm Semiconductors almost a 4% yield. So there is a, there's a real contingency of companies here that have significant yield. We're going to get to the growth part of this, and we're going to talk more about how this operates and how it works and what it means for you and how you can potentially access it. But this is our conversation today. We've been dancing around this for many, many weeks here and months on Money Matters, but we're linking the money, we're connecting the dots from Washington to Wall Street and what it means for potentially for your portfolio. So stay tuned. We've got news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here, Memorial Day weekend, straight ahead.
Here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here at WSB Radio. Today, it's going to be high in the upper 80s, of course. Looks like there's a little bit of a chance of rain. But, of course, tune in to Atlanta's Morning News and weather brought to you here by Shoemate Heating and Air. Hey, it's Memorial Day, and I'm here, and I figure it's quiet out there. But if you're listening, maybe it's just you and me together. But if you want something on this Memorial Day to share with your friends, that is... It's something that it will, that gives me goosebumps, and it'll probably bring a tear to your eye. And it's a speech by Ronald Reagan, who's given a tribute on Memorial Day, speaking at Hillsdale College. And it says that Hillsdale College choir singing in the background. They're singing "Mansions of the Lord." He does about a 2.5-3 minute clip about. He starts out and he says, "We are a nation under God, and I believe that God intended it for us to be free, and we must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenal of the world is so formidable as the will and the moral courage of free men and women." And he goes on to talk about the price for this freedom at times has been high, and we've never been unwilling to pay the price, and that's exactly what Memorial Day is all about. So I just relaunched my website, so if you go to wesmoss.com, there's the news tab at the top, and the my sections are money, adventure, success, health, happiness, and it's under the happiness tab that you'll find it, and it's just really a powerful, powerful speech. Also, you can find it on the Money Matters Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and you find Wes Moss Money Matters, all one word, you'll see there. It's you'll find the speech. So it's Ronald Reagan's speech at Hillsdale College, a tribute to Memorial Day. Share it with your friends because it is powerful stuff here on Memorial Day weekend. Well, thanks for being with us. We've got a little bit of time here on Money Matters. We've got at the bottom of the half hour, we're going to continue to talk about this powerful linkage between corporate America, Wall Street, and everything that happens in Washington, and the connection between those two and how powerful that connection is when it comes to how companies make money. As long as they get in the right tide or they get in the in the running tide, let's say, of Washington. And we'll talk about how that could potentially help you make money. More of that right here on Money Matters on Memorial Day weekend, straight ahead.
To Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need. Your love is
king. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. It's Memorial Day weekend here. Mary Ellen Hopkins said to me this morning, what are you doing here? It's Memorial Day weekend. Well, I didn't want to go anywhere. TSA pre-check for my wife and I, four kids, doesn't work. So I just didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to travel. It's a vacation to be home. With light traffic here in Atlanta, that is magical to me. So it's great to be here in the city. I don't know how many people are out there listening because I know it's a big travel weekend, but if you are, thanks for joining us here on Money Matters. We're talking about money and politics today here on this Memorial Day weekend. And weather, by the way, high in the upper 80s, 20% chance of rain. But again, it's summer. Weather brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. And you've tuned into Money Matters. The number here, 404-872-0750 on this Memorial Day weekend. We're talking about this dramatically powerful linkage between money and politics and how it impacts stocks and investments, that something that you've got to pay attention to as an investor. And we're going to get into some of these specifics. We've been dancing around this topic for the last month or so, and I'm giving you some more specifics here today. Because it's Memorial Day weekend, I found, and I have mentioned this already, but if you want to, you want a treat, a 2.5 minute treat, there, I found this speech from Ronald Reagan that he gives an address at Hillsdale College on a Memorial Day weekend. And it's this, it's a tribute to our armed forces and our soldiers. And it is really cool video. It's a very powerful 2.5 minutes where Reagan talks about the price that we pay that here in America for freedom. And all of our men and women in armed services, all of, and he talks about Arlington Cemetery, Arlington National Cemetery, and the, this, it's row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, and all of the, these, and all of our great brave Americans that lost their lives, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. So it is, it's a very cool speech. And in the background is playing Mansions of Our Lord by the Hillsdale College Choir. And it is just, it's awesome. Anyway, it's on, I posted it on the Money Matter, or the Facebook page. So Facebook's tricky these days because it's has kind of a lot of users, 1.6 billion. So there's probably a million posts a second. And it's hard to find anything on Facebook. So the best way to do it, and I've learned a lot in the last couple months about Facebook, but if you're on there and you go to the that particular page, which is, if you're on Facebook, you just go to Wes Moss Money Matters. You've got, in the in, when you say, when you like the page, you've got to say like first or see first in the news feed. Once you like a page, or else you might never see any of the actual stories. Over time, we accumulate all these likes on Facebook, and if you've liked 50 or 100 pages over time, your news feed would be just overrun with stories, so you don't get a whole lot of any stories that are actually posted. So if you really want to see the Money Matters stories that we post, you really almost have to hit see first in your news feed underneath that like button. So go to Wes Moss Money Matters, and you'll see the President Reagan speech. Share it with your friends because it is a treat here on this Memorial Day weekend. So let's go back to this money and politics. So we want to talk about this strategy between Washington and Wall Street that I've been dancing around for a long time. And the answer to this question here, how you're I'm trying to help you connect the dots from Washington to Wall Street, pretty simply. The answer to this is POP. POP, Policy Opportunity Portfolio. That's my acronym, POP. Hey, Wes, what's POP? Well, it's a Policy Opportunity Portfolio. Or you can call it the Lobby Index as a nickname for this. This strategy has been around for a long time. It actually has a long track record. It has a 14-year track record, but it hasn't been available until this year. And so I've just started using this. And I like it because it's not that different from normal income investing I've done for so many years, the strategy that, so POP, Policy Opportunity Portfolio, is just 50 stocks. They're all large cap. Half of them are very much income-oriented companies. Many of the same things that I've owned for years. So think of 25 companies that have a very high yield. So they're dividend-heavy, income-oriented stocks. The other half, purely growth stocks. If you take the 25 that are dividend-heavy, you're going to see a bunch of 4% yielders and a bunch of 3% yielders. So Southern Company and International Paper, Pitney Bowes, those are all over 4. H&R Block, Qualcomm, those are close to 4. That grouping has a collective dividend payment of 3%. That's a pretty significant stock-only dividend payment. The growth side, the purely growth side, pure growth side, has a yield that's less than 1%, but that's okay because you're owning these companies for appreciation, not just for the dividend. Interestingly too, though, this is the other really powerful part of the income story, is that the dividend part of this, these companies have been growing the dividend. Remember, what would you rather? Would you rather a company at a 5% dividend that's not growing, or a company at a 2.5% dividend yield that is growing? That's what I'd rather own. So if you look at some of these other names in the Policy Opportunity Portfolio, Cummins, they make truck engines, they yield 3.6%, but they've been growing the dividend between 25 and 30% a year. Boeing yields 3.4%, but they've been growing the dividend 20 to 30% a year. Qualcomm, they make semiconductor chips for everything from Kyocera printers to Motorola phones, Microsoft, Sony, Samsung devices, yield 3.8%. But they've been growing 15 to 25% dividend growth rate for the last several years. So you're seeing companies that have positive free cash flow, and they can raise the dividend. Now, the growth side of this, a POP, Policy Opportunity Portfolio, isn't owned just for the dividend. So these are, or isn't owned for dividends, it's owned for much more growth focused. You're going to see companies like Edward Life Sciences, Facebook, TripAdvisor, Vertex Pharmaceuticals. So there's healthcare and biotech in this Policy Opportunity. As you can imagine, these healthcare and biotech companies lobby very hard in Washington to try to make sure that they end up on the right side of Washington's gale force wind, because it is. And this is just the way business has been done in America for decade, 100 years, more than 100 years. It's just the reality of the world. So to not factor it in would be, you're not factoring in one of the most important pieces of the economic equation when it comes back to how companies do in earnings. So that's connecting the dots from Washington to Wall Street. And that's how, to me, this is something that I've spent a lot of time with and actually invested in this year. So we have this research partner that has developed this, we'll call it an overlay or a screen or a formula to try to find the companies that are really doing that, that are doing the best job at this in Washington. And that's part of the interview I did with Dan Clifton last week here on the show, to give you a preview or a taste of that. So the goal of POP, Policy Opportunity Portfolio, is to own these high quality companies that are smart about how they do business in Washington. I'm owning these companies why do I own them? Well, they're income companies. The 25, half this portfolio is very dividend oriented. They're a store of value. And then the goal, of course, is to do as well or better than the S&P 500. No strategy can outperform every year forever. It's not possible. Well, I guess it is possible. It just hasn't really happened. But this one has done a pretty good job at that. But believe it or not, it's actually outpaced the S&P every single year it's been around. I don't pretend to think that'll go on forever, but it's a pretty interesting way to look at the world. So this is a way of investing that has a definitive purpose. Identify companies that are solid and smart in Washington. Done. So the other thought about this, and we talked about this with Dan Clifton, is that you've got this screening process and you're finding these companies that are already healthy, but you want to measure their intensity of how they're lobbying. So it's not just enough to say, these companies are spending a bunch of money, because there are plenty of companies that spend a lot of money in Washington. You want to find companies that are, for some reason, now they're all of a sudden really stepping it up as far as what they're spending. So I went back to 2015. There's over $3 billion spent on lobbying in Washington. It's a lot. That's real money, $3 billion. There's over 11,000 lobbyists. So 2015, again, let's go back and look at some of the top spenders for 2015. General Electric, Alphabet, Comcast, Lockheed, Southern Company. All right, so those are five very big, big spenders. I pulled them out of basically the top 10 list. And this is all public information. You can find companies that spend a lot of money. And there's more to the formula than just who spends a lot. It's got to be, you want to see in relation to the size of the company is even more important. That's a big part of how you find companies that are really active right now in Washington. But let's just go back and look at these companies. So GE, Alphabet, Comcast, Lockheed, Southern Company, yes, and let's compare that to the market. So in 2015, and this is on a price basis, the S&P 500, well, actually, I did this over a one-year period, over the last 1 year. So as of May 30th last year till now, the S&P 500 in price is actually negative about 0.5%. So my chart tells me negative 0.4%. So let's call the S&P 500 flat over the last year. But all over the last year, those top spenders in Washington, General Electric's up 10%. Alphabet's up 37%. Comcast's up 7.5%. Lockheed's up 27%. Southern Company's up 12%. And by the way, that doesn't even count the dividend. That's just price. So they spent heavily last year, 2015. And over the past year, their stocks have absolutely trounced the S&P 500. Is there a coincidence there? Is that a coincidence? It might be. It might just be a coincidence. Or it might have something to do with their ability to be on the right side of Washington. Pretty interesting. I did a whole other article that shows the difference between healthcare, which we know has had a government tailwind since 2010 for affordable healthcare, ACA. Look at a chart of XLV, which is the healthcare ETF, since 2010. And then look at an industry that's been under assault from Washington, and that's the coal industry. And look at the chart of those two over the last 5-6 years. Pretty dramatic. XLV is up 126%. BTU, Peabody Coal, one of the biggest coal companies on the planet, they're out of business. They're down. That stock's down 99%. So you can't tell me that Washington doesn't have dramatic influence on the price or the earnings of particular companies. Again, the president doesn't determine the economy, but all the inner workings in Washington, that has a lot to do with different sectors and specific companies. So again, we're going to continue to talk about this. POP, which is Policy Opportunity Portfolio. I love the acronym. If you'd like more info about it, you can always just shoot me an email and I'm happy to discuss this and how it could potentially work into your overall planning or portfolio or investment. You can always go to my website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's a email button in the upper right-hand corner, or contact button, upper right-hand corner. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team, and we're happy to talk about it. News, weather, track straight ahead, then more Money Matters right here at WSB.
Here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner, Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here Memorial Day weekend. We're talking money and politics, but we've just had a whole bunch of calls actually on hold. So I feel like I want to talk to somebody. Charlotte, are you still there? You've been holding for a long time.
Thank you.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, by the way.
Can you hear me?
I can. I can. What's going on? We have a short segment here. So what's your question?
Okay. I read your book, loved it. I have a question. When one is considering one's net worth, does one consider incoming pensions indexed to inflation for the rest of their lifetime? Is that a part of the net worth?
It's not only is it part of the net worth, but it also impacts how your buckets get allocated as far as cash, income, growth and alternative income, because really a pension is very much like fixed income. It's like owning bonds because it's a guaranteed payment, for the most part guaranteed, that's coming in every month. And I typically will do a reverse. Well, the way to do that is just to do a reverse calculation. So if you have a $2,000 a month pension, times 12 is $24,000, right? Well, yeah. What would it take at, let's call it around a rule of thumb, 5% withdrawal rate, what would it take in a net worth lump sum to generate that? Well, so you take 24,000 divided by 5%, it would take $480,000 to do that.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely. Now, a bank wouldn't necessarily count that as your net worth. So if you're going to get a loan and you've got a $2,000 a month pension, they're not going to all of a sudden put on Charla's balance sheet a $500,000. But for the way I look at it, it absolutely is part of your net worth and it impacts your investment allocation. So if you've got this big pension coming in, to some extent, you could make an argument that you would reduce your income bucket and have more on the growth side, dividend paying stock side, as opposed to just bonds, particularly in the low interest rate environment we're in. So, and I also believe you should, if you have a pension that actually goes up with inflation, you've got to count the inflation rider every single year too. With that, stay tuned. 10 o'clock hour coming for Money Matters right here on WSB.